victims of drunk drivers the same information that the district attorneys give to the drivers they're prosecuting. You have in your materials a copy of the pretrial discovery statute showing what information defendants get, a copy of House Joint Resolution 34, which includes a provision making it a constitutional right for a victim to get all admissible information, a copy of the statute defining district attorney, because that's cross-referenced in the bill, and I've also included two proposed amendments for the committee's consideration. If you'll note on line 6 of the bill, it talks about the driver being under the influence of drugs, but doesn't define drugs. In the first version of the draft, it substitutes the phrase controlled substance for drug and defines it according to the controlled substance statute. And then the second proposed amendment simply keeps drug and defines it the same as in the controlled substance statute. There is no fiscal impact to this bill.
Thank you, counsel. Charlie, I think we're on the verge of giving you a different experience in this committee.
Mr. Wolf,
we're just glad to be able to make your day. You've been kind of an ad hoc member. We appreciate your due diligence and solicitation before the committee has been at all times eloquent, even though not all the time successful.
My name is Al Wolf, Mr. Chairman. I'm a legal investigator from Eugene, and I just briefly want to explain that I think this is a victim assistance bill. I frequently work with victims of accidents, and in most of those cases, they're death cases, automobile accidents involving drugs and alcohol. And quite often, I'm unable to assist a victim because the district attorney is prosecuting at the same time and doesn't feel comfortable releasing any information. So the victim has a great deal of pain and grief, especially at that time, and quite often I'm unable to get any further information from them because they don't want to be bothered further. In addition to that, they're really disturbed because we're unable to help them. And of course, it also entails frequently the cost of many, many more dollars for us to conduct an investigation because we can't have the basic information to start with. The things that are really important are that the scene is often disturbed. We are unable to hire experts to go to the scene. In most of the smaller jurisdictions, the police departments do not have the finances to hire experts. They often do not have the skill to investigate the scene. They may not even have photographers, or in some jurisdictions, they don't even have cameras. The police officers don't even have cameras available to them. And vehicles are today, with the cost of removing vehicles, the insurance companies destroy them almost immediately. Witnesses are so transient that by the time we're involved, they may be in another state. It becomes very costly to locate them and bring them back, and also records are destroyed. And so our hope with this bill is just to expedite investigation and to reduce the trauma for victims and also to reduce the cost of the investigation.
Thank you. Questions? This good witness. Thank you. Mr. Williamson.
I just would like to add one thing. I understand that the Restaurant and Beverage Association or Bar and Tavern owners may want to have an amendment to let additional categories of people have access to these reports. And we're not particularly anxious to keep them a secret, but we have worked over the interim through the Interim Judiciary Committee and in the Senate and hammered out amendments on this bill with the district attorneys to get their approval to it in its present form. And it is somewhat of a delicate balance the way it is, and it's not, as I say, we're not trying to keep these reports a secret from people who have a legitimate interest in using them, but I'd hate to see the bill fail because we're trying to expand it further at this point in the session.
Which one of these amendments?
There's been no amendment drafted or proposed. I just understand from Mr. Cross that there's a thought of an amendment.
Okay. So you were talking about the addition of this.
Right. We don't have any objection to the two amendments that you have.
The ones that define controlled substance or drugs. But you have a preference over whether we define a drug or control, because the difference in the statute is drugs are broader. They may include some prescription drugs or some over-the-counter drugs that are overdosed on versus controlled substances are generally either prescription or illegal.
Yes, we'd like the broadest one.
Well, we just want to give, want to help you out on this one, Charlie.
Right. We did have, the bill actually applied to all crimes in the Senate, and the Interim Committee proposed that, and then it was narrowed to meet the district attorney's concerns.
Which raises...
Have we already heard from district attorneys?
No, we're just starting off. You're
okay.
Just trying to...
So we can hear what those concerns were and why that language was taken out.
And
well, I think they had some concern that it was really broad, and I think they want to see how it works this way first. And Mr. Penn, I should put on the record that Mr. Penn does have some concerns about how this is going to work, and I think he will tell you that if he has problems, he intends to come back next session and try and tighten it up. And we would have every intention of helping him, as we do not want any of these records being released interfering with the criminal prosecutions. It's in the best interest of the victims to have the criminal convicted, and it should help in any civil litigation. And I would hope we may be able to come back next session, and that this bill works very well, and we may be able to discuss broadening it to other crimes next session.
Thank you. Anything further, gentlemen?
Chairman Baum, my name is Lawrence Wolbrock. I'm here as legislative chairperson for the Oregon Trial Lawyers Association. Just want to say on the record and to the committee, we strongly support the bill. We think one of the points that bears emphasis is that in this day of tight budgets for governmental organizations, the governmental organizations working together with someone like Mr. Wolf and investigating these claims can save both sides a lot of money, both the private litigants and the governmental organization. And it seems to be preferable than having two separate tracks and two separate investigations proceeding, both costing a lot of money. Finally, I'd just like to make sure that the committee is aware of a letter that was submitted on March 4th, 1991 over the signature of Barbara Stoffler, chairman of Oregon MAD Legislative Committee, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which she strongly supports the bill. She points out in that bill that if there's any question about the civil litigants interfering with the district attorney's right to conduct and formulate the prosecution as he or she sees fit, lines 11 to 14 give the district attorney the right to control that release of information so it doesn't interfere with his or her prosecution, and I think that reaches a good compromise for everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Penn, we have hardly seen you. Does this mean you've been working at the DA's office for a change?
I've been trying to, Mr. Chair.
We're always glad to have you. We realize that you're probably a little more comfortable with the present makeup of the House Judiciary Committee than it has been in the past, and so that probably explains your absence. Or maybe you've been working over in the Senate. Well, hopefully you've been working over in the Senate.
Oh, I've been around, unfortunately. Okay. But,
had any interesting cases lately, Mr. Penn?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'd apologize for not being here yesterday. I was supposed to be here, and I got subpoenaed to testify. That's why I wasn't here. But my name is Dale Penn. I'm representing the Oregon District Attorney Association, and we are supportive of this bill in its present form. We are hopeful. First of all, we have no intention of ever wanting to prohibit a victim from ever being able to be successful in a civil claim. At the same time, we want to ensure that separate investigations do not destroy the ability to convict someone who is truly guilty of the crime. And there have been some situations where that has occurred, but we're hopeful with the conditions that are in the bill that that won't be a problem, and we'll see how it works. Of the amendments that you have before you, I would suggest that the one that uses the word drug would be the more appropriate one, because, in fact, when we charge someone with driving under the influence, there are times when the mixture of alcohol and prescription drugs would have the effect that the person is impaired, and I would not want to complicate it by just restricting it to controlled substances. But that's just my suggestion.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Question, Mr. Penn?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I guess you got a question.
And one question. The question that I asked before, the interim idea had been all crimes, and then that language came out in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Anything to add to the comments that we got from the prior witnesses about why that was so?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and Representative Clark, first of all, we have concerns because every DA can give some examples of some cases that were harmed. And maybe that's more of a comment on who the the lawyer was. I would agree that in many circumstances, the civil investigation can actually assist the criminal case. The real intent here was primarily in these kinds of automobile accident cases. That was really what the original bill was, an interim committee, and it was expanded, I don't think, at least from my understanding, from any extensive input, but just the idea, well, it might be a good idea. In the last 6 months in this county, I had a situation where two female employees in a business downtown were sexually abused by the manager of the store. We were prosecuting the manager for sexual abuse. Both of the women were had a civil lawyer to sue both the manager and the store for damages. The lawyer called me and said, gee, I'd like to file this civil action. I won't mess around with the case at all. Just give me the reports and I'll promise that I'll hold it. I won't file it. I'll just, you know, get a kind of a head start on this. I acquiesced in that. And even though we specifically discussed the idea that we didn't want depositions taken of these victims, or we didn't want this filed because of the formal civil process, discovery process that could go forward, unknown to myself, an action was filed. The civil lawyer allowed both of those victims to be deposed with the criminal defense lawyer present and with no notice to us. Both of these women were basically sliced and diced, is the only way to describe it. It was an absolute travesty. They were put on the block and asked questions they never could have been asked in a criminal case, and thoroughly intimidated. We found out about this the night before the trial. And needless to say, I was very, very upset. I thought that we had lost the case because there was so much trauma for both of these victims. Miraculously, we were successful, and it didn't harm the case. But that is an example. I would rather pursue this slowly and see how well it works.
Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Penn. I was going to ask Mike McCallum.
Oh.
Mike McCallum out there? We'll get you. Welcome, Mr. McCallum. How are you?
Thank you. Mr. Chair,
actually,
committee members.
Like Mr. McCallum to me, but that's fine.
My name is Bill Cross.
I thought you were, but hey, you know, we take him where we find him. You know?
We've got Mike down in the House Consumer and Business Affairs Committee, so he's busy. I had sent a copy after the bill was amended on the Senate side and narrowed down to alcohol and drugs. We picked up on our tracking system and sent a copy of the bill to a defense attorney who specializes in liquor liability cases. And so I'm simply circulating a letter that he responded to that bill. I talked to him yesterday. He wasn't able to be here today. And I think his letter is a little overbroad, but I think what he is suggesting is there ought to be an opportunity for the any potential licensees that may be named in a criminal investigation also to have that early notification to be able to if in fact then a civil suit arises out of the case, to be able to start preparing for that case. Our problem with the liquor liability cases that are filed, many instances they are filed a year to 2 years later after the incident. The turnover in our industry is such that a lot of the employees are gone, a lot of the customers have changed lounges or whatever, and so it's very difficult to reconstruct what may have occurred with respect to an incident. There is some language, and unfortunately, we do not have a technical amendment prepared, but I think there's some language that was passed in 87 that requires law enforcement agencies in criminal cases, or in collisions where alcohol was used to report to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission than any named licensees by the individual responsible for the accident. And the OLCC then publishes that report annually. And I'm wondering if there may be a tie between that language in there and an opportunity to narrowly include those parties in a similar situation so that there would be some parity in who would have an opportunity to look at that information. We're not suggesting that we open it up to, as his one point here, why shouldn't anybody be able to see that information? We are not suggesting that and would not suggest that and don't want to interfere with what the district attorneys need to have in the way of precluding the public from interfering with their criminal prosecution.
Okay. Questions, members of the committee?
Chair, Representative Johnson. Isn't it true that if a victim got this information and then filed suit against a liquor selling establishment, a restaurant or bar or whatever, that as soon as that suit was filed, the restaurant would have the right to discover everything that the victim plaintiff had in his possession regarding the case, which would include these reports?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, that is true. Unfortunately, those filings typically will occur oftentimes very close to the statute of limitations, which is 2 years, whereas this criminal investigation and prosecution would typically occur, you know, relatively soon after the incident. So there's while we would have that a discovery opportunity, it would be perhaps not very, it would be stale.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We have, Mr. Cross, we have kind of a difficult situation here because we have a bill that's gone all the way through the Senate. Did you have an opportunity to present this proposed amendment over there?
Mr. Chair, no, we didn't. At the time, the language was, it included all crimes, and so we didn't really pick up on the legislation. And it wasn't until it became engrossed that we discovered that it was going to be narrowed to alcohol and drug, and that's when we began to realize that there was going to be an impact.
Because we have a situation here where we have it kind of specifically drawn, narrowly drawn to alcohol and drug-related. And you're kind of asking us to go ahead and expand that to someone who probably in some percentage of those cases may be drug in, i.e., you are the guys that your folks, he was drinking there before he went out on the road and killed these people. So you're afraid of some third-party liability down potentially. But what we have here is we're going to have most of these cases that, and maybe this is a growing area, most of these cases right now are simply aimed at the driver who does the deed, or whoever causes the injury that was under the influence of alcohol. So, I mean, we like to accommodate some concerns in your area, you know, about giving us the same information that the victims are getting in case we're happen to be where the perpetrator got the alcohol or we happen to have a few drinks at our place before we left. That's your concern, but we have no information to say that there's a problem out there for your folks that deserves being included in the bill at this point. Can you, you think you're going to get a break on, you find out that people are they suing you for anything, for regularly for this kind of activity? How's this going to help, you know?
Mr. Chairman, liquor liability has, according to the information at least from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, who in 1987 when the tort reform measures were enacted by the Legislative Assembly, one of those measures required OLCC then to maintain records on suits that they were made aware of and to be the collection agency for information regarding law enforcement data that related to automobile collisions that involved alcohol use.
Did they let you know that information?
Yes.
When they are informed, when the OLCC is informed that one of their licensees may have been tangentially involved in this, we have a statute that says that they're to notify your folks?
the statute requires them to maintain that information. I don't think the statute, it's 4 years old, and I unfortunately don't have it with me, but I don't think it requires them to inform the licensee, but I think they do that as a matter of practice. I mean, the purpose was to try and...
We have a statute that says, upon receipt of the notice described in Section 1 of the section, the commission shall cause the licensee or permittee named as the alleged provider to be notified of the receipt of the notice and of its contents.
Mr. Chairman, that is the statute, and that's correct then. They also publish it annually, that information, and that's where I've gotten the information that there are fewer suits being filed today than there were 5 or 6 years ago. So the problem may not be as significant as it was, but there are still a number of third-party liability suits filed. And you're correct, not all of them do involve licensees. They involve other third parties who may have supplied the alcoholic beverages.
You better, Mr. Cully, McCallum, Mr. Cross, will you come up here? I know Mr. Cross is already up there. Mr. Cross came up as Mr. McCallum earlier. You're trying to sneak, we're trying to get in the final round here, and it's and the committee would like to move this thing along, and they don't want to open up anything that's going to cause a problem on the bill getting by for its original purpose. We always appreciate the opportunity that people take to see anything that goes by that may look like it's likely candidate to help a situation out. But this bill has been through the Senate. You like to give the access to licensees that may be named in these police reports upon request. The OLCC gives you a notice when you're reported as a licensee that maybe did something like this. OLCC is supposed to give your folks notice that some of the licensees have been mentioned in the police report by existing statute. And you're supposed to receive a copy of the contents of that notice and to your licensee. Now, with that already out there, is that service to you? I mean, it's a notice thing. What additional things are we going to get you if we entertain this amendment that's not going to jeopardize this process of completing without complicating it and providing you still something more substantive than what you already have if OLCC follows the statute?
Chairman Baum, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Mike McCallum, Director of Government Relations for the Restaurant Association. It's my understanding that when the OLCC gives us information concerning an incident, that's all they give us, is information that an incident has occurred. We don't necessarily get any of the details about how or what the other factors are within that incident itself. And so I believe that if there's additional information that's being released via this report, that in fact the licensee could benefit from that information.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Cross.
Additionally, the law enforcement is usually involved just at the scene of the accident. If the person involved is able to give a name, where they were last served, where they were coming from, that type of thing, that will go in the law enforcement report, and that's what the law enforcement report transmits to OLCC. That doesn't include then any additional names that might come up at a later point in time when they're talking about actually filing a case against that individual.
Okay. Well, we wanted to give you a chance to make your shot, you know.
And we do appreciate that. Thank you.
So, we're going to go into work session. Mr. Winston, you want to comment?
I just want to briefly make a couple of points, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for letting me come up again. We would be glad to work in the interim with these folks to try and work some language out. I'm really concerned that, given the difficulty we've had to get to this point with the DAs, and Mr. Penn always has to check with a whole bunch of other DAs to be able to make a move, that it would be very hard to work something out, especially when we have no language at this point in the session. I would also like to point out to the committee that the measure summary in this bill has been exactly the same with respect to its statement of alcohol and drug involvement since the interim committee. It hasn't changed. In fact, that was one of the reasons the Senate narrowed the bill back down, is because it sort of inadvertently, they broadened the bill to any criminal conduct, but the measure summary still said alcohol and drugs. So they've known about this for a long time, or should have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thank Williamson. You. Any further witnesses on Senate Bill 372? Okay, we're going to close the public hearing on that bill, and we're going to wait a moment, if you'd be patient with us, and we're going to go into work session on this bill and see what we can do as soon as we get the necessary five bodies. Members of the committee, while we're kind of discussing this, we're going to have an opportunity to move either the dash ones or the dash two amendments, plus raise the issue that's been raised by the Mr. Cross and Mr. McCallum, but I would suggest that since the consent from Mr. Williamson and Mr. Penn was that the Dash 2 amendments prepared by Council dated 5/22/91, once we get the situation, Representative Mannix in the room, we can get into the work session. We may move those. Then I need to get indication from members of the committee of whether they want to deal with the other matter or now or save it for later.
Chair, what's the... Concern about dealing with the issue that the restaurant folks brought to us is that the Senate isn't going to like that, or
I'm not sure what it might do. I'm not sure what it sets off with. I'm willing to deal with it. But the same token, the committee
seems to me It seems to me the worst that could happen is if Senate wouldn't like it for whatever reason. Conference committee would be appointed, and rather than let the bill die at that point. Could pull that language out of there in conference committee if it had to keep the bill surviving. I don't know why the Senate would hate it that much. And I'm just trying to think through the strategy of the thing.
Penn, will you step up to the table, as we say? Just for a record, we're still going to be in a public hearing on this bill until such time as we get the additional five folks. What if we entertained a attempt to bring licensees and permittees under the OLCC into this situation? What would be your response, just so we have it on the record?
Well, Mr. Chair,